Fair that, Mike. Thanks, Lisa. Isn't God good? But isn't it amazing how many of those testimonies start with, I put on the prayer chain. I reached out to people to pray with me. I'm standing with people. And I think that's one thing which I just want to encourage you. If you're thinking, oh, I can't share that. They're going to judge me on that. They're going to think it's not very important. Everything's important. And we're a family here. And we want to pray for you. That's your invitation right there, right now. If you're feeling like a big nudge, tell somebody about it today, because we want to pray with you and partner with you and stand with you. And then one day you'll be stood up here going, guess what God did? And we want to see that, don't we? Yeah? Excellent. Well, today you've got me again, and I'm going to be talking about, basically how God makes the way, because he loves us and he knows the way that we need to go, whether we want to go that way or not. And today we want to take a moment to reflect on how God's love for us is at the heart of all that we are. You know, he will leave that 99 sheep to find that one lost one, the one that's heading the wrong way, the one that's feeling alone, the one that's feeling vulnerable. God will leave the ones who are settled and doing okay to go after that one. And maybe you are that one today. But God is not after just being the popular one. He's not after the followers. He's not on like that Instagram, get me the most, follow me, like and subscribe, and I will bless you in all many ways. God wants us to follow him because he loves us. And he wants us to know it, he wants us to feel it, and he wants us to live it. See, when he finds us and we encounter him, do we want to be changed, or are we holding on to things of the world that are temporary and causing us to wander away and be separated from God? You know, the next 4 weeks, we are going to be bringing four simple stages that all followers of Jesus journey through. They are all simple, they are all life-changing, but they are 100% up to each one of us to do. Each one of us needs to acknowledge it and apply it to our lives. We can find ourselves stuck in any one of these stages, and we can allow the past to speak louder than God, and that holds us captive when the door is wide open. You know, there were two church leaders that I heard about, and they loved to play pranks on each other. They weren't very holy. No, they weren't really. But they loved to do these tricks of, one person goes into the storeroom, the other one locks the door and runs away. It was that kind of trickery. But one of them found that if you get locked in one storeroom, they've got these false ceilings, so you can hop on the cupboard, climb up and out. And he was like, oh, this is brilliant, I've got my escape plan. One day he got locked into a cupboard with no escape. The only way in was the door. And he tried the door, and he was like, oh, it's locked. That was it. The other time he got locked into this room, he didn't even bother trying the door handle. He just stayed there for hours. Meeting after meeting went on and was like, where is he? Oh, I don't know. He was still locked in the cupboard, but the door wasn't locked. He didn't even think to try the door handle. He got so used to being locked in that he didn't even bother. And his mate was like, the door's wide open. You just had to come out. And he was like, oh, whoops. So he spent the whole day in this room when he didn't need to, because he thought he was still locked in. And that's sometimes how I think we feel. We feel like we're in that mindset of we're locked in. We can't change. We can't do that. It's always going to be the same. If I try this, I'm going to get the same results. And God's like, I've made a way. The door's open. All you have to do is go through it. God loves us so much that he doesn't want to remain in that mindset of being held captive when we are free. It's so easy to pray prayers for God to send a solution, and the solution is in our very hands. See, when my eldest started primary school, I had this thing of, we really need to pray for these kids. There are so many different situations going on in this school. We need to pray. So on the walk home from school, I was like, God, you need to send somebody to start a prayer movement in the school. You need to send somebody to start a prayer meeting. You need to do something here, because we need to see prayer raise up in this school. It's a faith school. We should see some prayer, shouldn't we, God? We need some parents to get behind this. And God was like, and what are you doing? Well, no, you need to send somebody, God. You know, you need to be the one who sends the right person in. And what do you think your role in this is? Well, I'm just praying for someone else to go and do that. No, girl. What are you going to do about it? I was like, I don't think I'm good enough. I don't think I know enough. I don't think my prayers are going to be the ones that bring breakthrough. Why not? Because I haven't started yet. I haven't prayed. I haven't seen God move. I don't know what to pray because, God, I'm not in that place yet. And it was a real moment when God was like nudging me to say, you need to go. You've seen it. You have prayed about it, and you are the one. And the impact of that was, it wasn't just life-changing for me and seeing what God was doing through me, but we saw every classroom wanted to put a prayer box in so they could put their prayers in, so every Monday we could collect their prayers and pray it for the kids and with the kids and stand with them. We found notes being put in by staff. We found notes being put in by the kids because they wanted us to partner with them in their situation. And we saw so many things coming free. Children going home and having a meal on the table that night when they thought they weren't going to go have a meal. See, God loves us and he wants us to live a fulfilled life. The one that he has asked us to do because he knows why we were created. And if we limit ourselves thinking, I'm trapped in this world of it, I'm not good enough. It can't be me. That big finger of the lottery that says it's you isn't on me, it's on somebody else. If we keep seeing that on other people and not on ourselves, then we're not going to live in that fulfilled life that God is asking us to step into. If we want to see revival in our towns, it starts with us. It starts with us saying, God, what are you asking me to do? And what am I bound in that I am actually free from? Have I locked myself in a spiritual closet which you have actually opened the door for, and I need to step out into what you're asking me to do? See, maybe you are here today and you are being distracted by work or family, that you haven't been able to rest or totally switch off and be still. Maybe your health is restricting your activities. Maybe your head is swirling with all those worries about finances or paperwork or even past hurts. Maybe you're feeling isolated and lonely. And even when you are surrounded by people, you still feel like you're on your own. See, maybe you're in a good rhythm here today and you're spending time with God. You know your purpose and you're serving God with a joyful heart. But maybe there are just some of you that are holding back. And for some of us, that door needs to be unlocked. For others, that door is unlocked and we need to walk through. Out into that freedom where no longer the past binds us. See, we sing about it. We sing about it time and time again. But are we living in it? See, God loves us. It's not just three words. It is a life-changing revelation that we can all have. God loves us. He never wanted us to be separated from him. Even Paul wrote to the church in Ephesians, I pray that you are being rooted and established in love. May have the power together. Do you want to put that slide on, Dave? There you go. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power together with all of the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is the love of Christ. And to know that this love that surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And that's Ephesians 3, verses 17 to 19. It says you are rooted and established. If you put on the next slide, it highlights this for you. Rooted and established. What does that mean? We talked about it. Even the daffodils, they need something to go into. They need to be settled. They need to know that where they are is where they're meant to be. They're not going to just drift around in the wind, just one day being here, next day over there. They are planted, they are rooted, and that's when they flourish. Together with others, that's a hard bit. Letting people in. Letting people know you. It's very easy to turn up to things and run out the door afterwards. But God wants us to be together. Because that's when we grow together and understand the depth of God's love. Because when we love others, we feel that love back. It's reciprocal. It's not just fill me, fill me, fill me, fill me, and I'm not going to give anything back. There needs to be an exchange to the overflow in the fullness of Jesus, to be fruitful and sharing the love with others. The Passion Translation just words it slightly different, and it expresses the same passage as this. The great magnitude, have you got it? Yeah. The great magnitude of the astounding love of Christ in all its dimensions. How deeply intimate and far-reaching is his love. How enduring and inclusive it is. Endless love beyond measurement that transcends our understanding. This extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. And I just love that language, the extravagant love, that inclusivity, that overflow. This is what Paul thinks that all believers need to understand. You know, Paul had this incredible moment when God found him. He didn't need to think that he was lost. He was like, you know what? There's some people in our lives that go, I'm not lost. I'm doing all right. I've got a house. I've got a car. I've got a good job. I've got good friends. I'm not lost. What do you mean I'm lost? Well, Paul was like that. He was living the high life. He was highly educated. He had been learning for years about the Jewish law. He was a skilled tent maker, just as an aside project. He was loved and respected. He had thousands where he commanded them to do something. They went and did it. He had no fear. He had no worries. He was doing okay. He rounded up Christians and arrested them because to him, they were not following the truth. He just knew what he knew, and he was living that life. Then on the way to make some more arrests, there was an encounter. There was a moment when God broke him free from his narrow mindset and enabled him to find purpose and make an incredible difference to the early church in that region. See, God knew what he needed. God knew him. And he thought he knew God. He thought he was free. He thought he was doing a good thing. But in actual fact, he was lost. There was a time when a woman was at the well. She was going about her daily life. She didn't feel like she was lost. She just felt like people didn't like her. So it was fine. I'll just get on my daily life. I can do all things. I'll be all right. But Jesus went up to that well and met her and said, I know about your past. And I'm not ashamed about your past. But I can give you a better future. And then that moment, she knew God in a different way. And I think so often when we talk about going out to reach the lost, the least, and the last in our communities, they don't realize that they are lost, because what lost is not knowing God, not knowing that they are free from their past, that they can walk in a freedom that they never knew they could walk in. But they need to know God, not just hear about him, not just be told this is what the gospel says, but to know what it feels like for them. My journey in faith is not the same as someone else's journey in faith. And if we keep trying to say, here's your mold, fit it, people won't fit into it, will they? In our communities and in our lives, we can be lost, even when we're following God. We have these, like, do you know shy horses have the blinkers on that stops them getting distracted so they just see the path ahead? It's like that in our life. We just have these blinkers on. And we just sort of say, God, just guide us and reveal, just guide us this way, give us the way, the truth, and the life. I'm just going to follow this. But when we put those blinkers on, we miss some of the creation around us. We miss seeing the things that God's trying to show us on the way. It's not just about getting to a destiny. It's not just about go to heaven at the end of a long, hard struggle. It's being here in the moment, seeing people's hurts, carrying them with us. We can deny Jesus as Lord just through thinking and our actions and our thoughts, just when they're not quite aligned with where God wants us to see and to notice. If we're so focused on one thing, we miss all these things going on around us. If we are not going to have the Bible as our guide, we also need the tour guide as well. See, the Bible can tell us so many things, but it's the only book you can read where every day you can have the author in your bedroom with you when you read it. He is sitting there telling you, read this, see this, have a revelation today. We can be lost in so many ways, but the great news is we can be found. And when that feeling of God's love sinks in and stirs us and desires us to change ourselves and to live more like Jesus, then we become to be the full measure of who he is. Less of me and more of him is what John put in his scripture. He just wanted to be more like Christ and less of who he was. You know, throughout scripture, we see that God has given us a map of how to do this. And we are going to explain these over the stages over the next few weeks, just to give you the overview of each stage. But it also is we also encourage you that if you can't be here 1 week, listen online. It's a great way to catch up with any messages. We've had testimonies last month where if you missed it, go and listen to it back, because you need to hear what we're saying. We want you all to kind of not miss a week and get from, oh no, God, now I can just go off. No, there are stages which we need to walk through. So we encourage you, listen online, catch up with the messages. And on top of that, we're giving you an extra gift. Ooh. Ooh. We'll be sharing more details and going deeper with you because we want to grow together. So we're setting up growing together sessions, which we're going to introduce over the next few weeks, where you can sign up and come along for a couple of sessions. It's not going to be like, you know, sign up, give your life away. That's what you do with Jesus. This is for you to, and us to grow together, where we can dive deeper and look at each one of these stages and go, actually, I'm stuck here and I want to get there. How do I do it? But we'll walk with you to get there. See, we can put things in place, but it's up to each one of us to do it. And we want to see each one of you flourish and grow, to multiply, because it's not just about numbers at church, it's numbers in heaven. Soul saved is what we're after. So I'm going to take you on a journey now. Are you ready? Seatbelts on? Back in time we go to Egypt, 13th century. Can you feel the heat? We've all got the lovely tans, because of course everybody back then had gorgeous tans. But we are now Israelites, just for this moment. We are God's chosen people. But we have got this promise of God that he made with our ancestors, that there's going to be land and there's going to be generations to come. Isn't that good news? We're going to have no stress at all because God's going to provide us this bountiful land overflowing with food and drink and whatever we want. Who wants to go there? Some of you, who wants to go there? A land where there's no stress, no worries, no health problems, just gorgeousness. I'll be in. However, we don't find ourselves there. We find ourselves in Egypt, not in a promised land, with rulers who resent us because God's favour is upon us. But we will still praise God, won't we? We will still sing his praises, won't we? We will still say, God, you're still number one and we believe in your promises. Oh, the rulers don't like this again. They're making us work twice as hard, going to collect the straw to make the bricks, to go and build the pyramids and all these false statues. But all we want to do is go to the land of milk and honey, don't we? We all just want to see the promises fulfilled and freedom and to just do what we want to do. We want to go and watch TV one day because we're going to invent it. We want to do something different because why not? Why do we have to do the same thing every day? Making bricks. And you know what's even worse? I don't know what sound effect you're going to do there, but I was just curious. But what's worse is they still made them go and make not just the bricks and then go and collect the straw to make the bricks. They make you keep the same quantity of bricks being made every day, plus add into your labours. That means probably getting up at 2 o'clock in the morning and not going to bed till 12. Who's in? No. We don't want in with that. But they knew that God had said to them that there was going to be this promise. They still worshipped God no matter what they did to them. They still remained faithful. And I think that says so much for these guys and girls who were just sat there doing day after day, doing something they didn't want to do in a place where they didn't want to be. But they remained faithful because they knew God. They had told themselves and their children and the children and the children and the children, this is the promises of God. This is what God has done, and he can do it again. We sung it this morning. We know you're going to do it again, God. We know you can do it again. If you can move the mountains, you can move the mountains right now. But we can't just sing it. We've got to know it. We've got to know God so intimately that nothing, no brick-making laborers being cruel to us and taking away our everything, no matter what we face, God can do it again. Amen? Yes. But there comes a time when you sit there going, okay, you're knowing God, but you're not free. You are bound in this situation where you are building a kingdom for pharaohs, not the kingdom of God. And that's a revelation, isn't it? We're building empires on earth that are temporary, that are worshipping idols, but we're not building the kingdom of God. And when the Israelites are like, hang on a minute, we're going to keep groaning in this pain because we don't want to be here. We want to be where God wants us to be. We want to be free. So God, this moment in Exodus, God decided, right, this is it. I've heard your groanings. I'm going to tell you something that's going to keep your promises alive. Therefore, he said to Moses, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and the mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know personally, intimately, for yourselves, that I am your Lord, your God, who brought you out from out of the, under the yoke of the Egyptians, and I will bring you to the land I swore with an upheld hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession, because I am the Lord. Isn't that great? He started in that moment saying, hey, I hear you, and I'm going to bring you out from this yoke. I'm going to free you. The four promises in here is, I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them. I will redeem you. I will restore you to who you're meant to be. I will put in place, I will pay the bargain price. You are free, totally, 100% free. And I will take you as my people, my chosen children, and I will be your God. I will protect you. I will fulfill every promise that you will be in this land that will be for your generations and generations to come. So there is growth, there is multiplication, there is a future. I will give you all of that because I am your God. See, God promised them all of this, and you're like, yes, we see the victory in the story. But the trouble is, they were trapped in their mind. For over 400 years, we reckon there were generations of this slavery upon these Israelites. And they knew slavery. They didn't know how to be free because they hadn't experienced it. It's like trying to say to a child, one day you can do whatever job you want, but right now you need to study maths. I don't like maths. But right now you just need to study it so you can go and do a future. But I don't want to do maths right now. But one day we will be free. One day you'll be free from that maths lesson. But right now, it feels like forever. I can't do it. But God's like, come on, children. I've got you. Know me. Know my promises that I will fulfill. And we can get there. But they were just trapped with this Egyptian mindset of, someone needs to tell me when to eat. Someone needs to tell me when I need to get up. Someone needs to tell me what to do. Because I'm so used to being following instructions that I don't know how to follow your voice. I don't know how to be free in my calling because I'm so trained to do what I'm told and not have a dream. You see it with so many people who come out of the army where they are so in that mindset of being told to do this, this, this. This is my day. This is my routine. They come out and they go, someone tell me what to do. And they get a bit lost because they don't know how to cope without instructions. This is how they were living, and they didn't know how to live in the freedom that they found themselves. They limited their mindset of what God can do. God can't do this because I don't know what to I don't know how to trust him. I don't know how to trust that he's going to give me food tomorrow. So maybe I'll collect a bit more today. It rotted. It went bad. They didn't trust that God will provide again tomorrow. We can be guilty, can't we, of living in a limited mindset, especially in our prayer life. You know, maybe we haven't quite fully trusted that God will answer our prayers. We've heard it this morning, some wonderful testimony, haven't we? But that's their story. God won't answer mine. God's brought healing. Someone was in a wheelchair, now they can walk, but I'm just going to limp. God won't heal me. There's no point even praying. Or we're afraid that if we ask, he might not receive our prayer. And so rather than get disappointed, we won't even ask in the first place. Rather than maybe invite him into our mess, we'll wait till it's all spring cleaned. But if anybody's lived in a house that isn't always spring cleaned and struggles, you know what it's like. You never invite anybody in because it's never going to be the perfect life that you want people to see. Life is not an Instagram perfect thing. And behind every Instagram, look at this, there's a whole pile of chaos. And if you don't see that and know it, you're going to live your life chasing after a dream that can't come true. We need to be free, but to be free is to know God's will. It's no good going, oh, I'm free, but God, I want you to do this. And God's saying, that's not my will. My will is for the lost. It's not just to make you rich, famous, and beautiful. We can all dream of that, but that's not God's will for us. God's will is that we know his heart and to pray in alignment with his will. It might be shifting to say, God, give me a parking space, to dangerous prayers that say, change me, God. We've sung it, or maybe Lisa said it actually, that we can be stuck in places of guilt, unforgiveness. And yet God's saying, don't stay there because you are free. My love endures forever. I don't want you to have that negative mindset. I want you to have a positive one. These are the dangerous prayers that we can pray. Take this off me because I don't want to speak that over that person anymore. I don't want to be jealous of that person. I don't want to feel guilty or bound in this. Free me, God. They're the dangerous prayers that we can stand in when we know what God's will is and we feel free to pray in that confidence. See, God wants us to leave behind the things that fill our time but are not what he created us to do. He doesn't want our days to be filled making things for mini empires. He wants us to be filled with that enormity of heaven to outpour into people. For the Israelites, their days were filled making bricks. They had no spare time to find a hobby, no fishing. Sorry, Mark, you couldn't go fishing back then. But they couldn't even marvel at the world around them because they didn't have travel. They didn't have days off to go and explore. They just knew what they knew, that limited world around them. But when we know the God's call on our lives, we start finding our created purpose. We start using our spiritual giftings and our time to be spent building the kingdom of God and not for other people want us to build. When we know God, we get free from our Egypts. These are the things in our past that keep us away from God, that keep us distracted from our purpose from God. We can be changed from within, but we need to let God help us. Because when we're changed from within, we can speak life into others. We don't let those past hurts and pains taint our generosity or the words or our actions. I think you've all felt that when somebody is saying something to you, but you know that that's not spoken freely. There's some sort of jealousy in there. There's some sort of, oh, well, have a nice holiday. You can feel it, can't you? You know when someone's not really 100% behind you. You know when they're sort of just saying the words, but actually there's a little dagger going in. God wants us to put down the daggers. He wants us just to love and say, have a great holiday. I'm a little bit jealous of you going to a nice sunny place. Maybe one day I'll be able to go there. You can speak life and still say, look, I own it. I'm just a little bit. You know, how are you able to do that? Well, I'm amazed. That's God's will for you. And I bless you in that. Maybe God will bless me one day like that. Who knows? But we say it in a positive way rather than a way where there's a little bit of a dig. We can forgive easier, even those horrible relationships. And we've all seen people with childhood trauma where they have been abused and just had the horriblest home life. But we can learn how to forgive in a new way. It doesn't mean that we forget. It doesn't mean that those pains are just like magically erased. But we can walk in a forgiveness like never before. We can resist that temptation, that little niggle to be jealous, to be resentful. All those thoughts we can take hold of. And we say, I recognize that, but I'm going to speak life. I want to make a difference because we are different. We're no longer what we were. We have been changed. And this is one of my favorite quotes. It's from The Chosen. So if you haven't watched The Chosen, I hope this isn't a spoiler. But there's a character called Mary Magdalene who is actually based on a biblical character. And she says this great line. I was one way, and now I'm completely different. And the thing that happened in between was him. It was Jesus. And that's one of my favorite lines. And we actually had it as T-shirts for baptism candidates. Here. I was one way, but now I'm completely different. Not just a little bit, not even like 5%, maybe a slight nudge. Completely 180 degrees different, because we are not facing that wrong way anymore. We're facing God. And I love it that she just recognized the thing. The thing that made the difference was Jesus. It was my relationship with that special person who set me free, got me out of my Egypt, got me out of my situation, and I know it. She didn't win the lottery. She didn't do anything massive. It was a heart change. It was being accepted, forgiven, knowing God. So these are the four biblical stages and cycles that we are going to walk through, and we will. And it's, you know, it's there. It's been there since Exodus. Know God, get free, find our God purpose and make a difference. Across the world, people have found themselves, when they're drifting in their faith and not rooted in a community of believers, that, and when they're not growing, they find themselves stuck in one of these. Either they can't know God fully because something's holding them back, or they can't quite get free, or they can't really find out what their God purpose is, or they can't really make a difference. They get stuck in one of those stages, and that's where they're not flourishing. We can listen to every good teaching that we could possibly listen to, even Jed. We can listen to every good sermon, especially Mark's. We can listen to every revelation of the Bible, But if we're not in a community that love us and nurture us, we only have head knowledge. We can surround ourselves with people who make us meals, make us laugh, help us out in times of difficulty. They could be the best friends that you could ever want. But without the grounding of the word, we have no direction and no foundation to stand upon when the storms come. But when we're around people who love us and are hungry, really hungry for the word of God, then we are in a safe place to ask questions, to make mistakes, to get it wrong, but to be guided and supported. That's when we flourish. We have a commission from God to go and make disciples, teach them and baptize them in the name of Jesus. But God loves us and he is asking us if we will go after the lost. That is our commission from God. It's been there since the Bible times and we go back through it. But are we desperate enough? Are we absolutely desperate for revival in our nation? Because if we are, it starts with us. Are we willing to be changed? To work through the past in a safe place and let God heal us. To let the pain melt. To break the strongholds that we thought could never be broken. To renew our thoughts. To start changing that internal narrative. God leaves the 99 for the one. He left it for each one of us. He finds that lost, lonely, isolated sheep in the story, and his love sets it free. It is now part of a herd. It has now changed its identity from outcast to chosen. Imagine if we can all do that. If Carmel could be this place where we flourish to impact not only our own families and our own social circles, but everyone around us, because we are walking in that freedom. We are not bound by our Egypts. We are free from in that mindset. Imagine if we come as we are, but we walk out every week changed. Wouldn't that be amazing? Imagine if we came in and we could leave Egypt here and walk out knowing that we can find our God-given purpose and the difference that he's asking us to make. And it starts with our yes to God. It starts with that, yes, God, I want to be in. I want to be all in. I don't want to hold back anymore. I don't want to be like those Israelites thinking I'm free, but actually I'm not. I don't want to walk around for 40 years thinking, how do I break this chain of this yoke from me? But God's spoken it. I will redeem. I will break that yoke of the Egyptians. I will bring you out. And yet we still think, oh, it's on me. I'm still yoked to that. No, we're yoked to Jesus. But imagine if we could leave it behind and say yes. And we've got to know him. This is a God of love. It's not a God who has got a wrath, who's going to say, oh, no, you can't do that. He is a God of love. And how we know this is he sent Jesus. He left the wonders of heaven. Now, I don't know about you, but the more I read about heaven, it sounds like an amazing place. Yet Jesus left it to come and find us. He left it to find the one. Why are we so special to God? Why is he speaking to us? Because he loves us. We need to know that love beyond all things. So I'm just going to pray as I finish. I just say, Father God, thank you. Thank you that you love us. That you will leave that 99 for the one. And we are the one. There are times when we forget that you are still chasing after us. Lord, in this moment, I pray that your spirit is moving in this room. That we get to feel what it is to be in your love. That we will know that we are your chosen people. We might not be physically in that Egypt, but in our minds and in our lives, we can feel trapped. We can feel like we're not doing what we were born to do. We might even feel like we're not born in the right bodies to do what you're asking us to do. We might feel frail. We might feel past it. We might feel wrong. But Lord, you are speaking to each one of us. A calling, a purpose, and a heart full of love. So Lord, may we not get trapped in a cupboard and not realize that the door is open. In our mind, will you open all doors to your word and your will? Lord, we want to be a church that's rooted and planted in this town, but is flourishing because our hearts are flourishing with you. Lord, pour out your spirit upon us. Help us break free from the things that are holding us back. Because we want to walk in that freedom. We don't want to wait for one special day. We want it now. We want to have that moment like Paul where we were one way and in a moment you've stepped in. You have shown us our limitations and what we're holding back from. We want to be like the woman at the well, where you know so much about us that we don't longer have shame. We no longer are outcast, but we are your chosen children. I was one way, and I'm completely different. And the thing in the middle was you. Amen.
Thank you, Katie Anne.